So that there are degrees of reward among the wheat, and there are degrees of punishment in the tares. Now, he indicates that right here in this chapter. When he comes to interpret the tares in the final analysis, he says God is going to gather out of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, the sphere of professing Christianity, or what we would roughly call the church at large. He's going to gather out all the tares, and those tares will be made up of two groups. All of those who make others to stumble, those that offend, he said. That means those who not only sinned, but they actually taught a way of sin. They actually invited others to participate in a way of sin. And then there's going to be another category, those who simply do iniquity. That means they only sin, but they do not advertise it. They do not invite others to participate. They do not lead others in it. And he said those are going to be the basic categories of the tares. And they're going to be divided in their punishments in light of those categories. Now that's very, very significant. Let's walk through this parable. First of all, let's note the principle of the kingdom that is revealed in this parable. In verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man, and that man is Christ himself." That's the way he interprets it, the Son of Man. He says in the interpretation later in the chapter, "It is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." Now that's the principle by which the kingdom operates. Now here's what it means. The whole human race is a vast, sprawling, gigantic field. Before the coming of Christ, it was basically a bleak and fruitless and lifeless field. Just a sprawling field. The cosmos, the earth, the population of men, the world over. That's the field. Now, when Jesus came, he began to sow the seed of ultimate truth throughout that field, as far as he could reach. Wherever there was a man who was listened, Jesus sowed that seed. He flung the seed of truth everywhere, and it was sown wherever there was a listening heart. Now, whenever that seed germinated in anybody's heart, when a person was born again, and the spiritual life principle of God was exploded in his heart as he by faith opened his life and received Jesus Christ, that person in that moment became what is called here a child of the kingdom. Now in turn, Jesus turned right around then and sowed the children of the kingdom throughout the world. Now notice, he sowed the seed of truth in the hearts of men. Wherever it germinated, you had a child of the kingdom. Then he took that child of the kingdom and thrust him out into the world. And wherever he went, Jesus had planted him there. He had sown him there. He in turn was to turn around and take the seed of truth that had been sown in him and was to scatter it in all directions. Now that's the principle by which the kingdom operates. And there is no other. Now let me ask you the question, does your life look like that? Are you a person in whom Jesus Christ has sown his truth so that it has been germinated into divine life? You have been born again, and Jesus is the most personable person to you that you know of all people whom you know. He literally lives inside of you. That seed has been germinated. All right then, he turns right around and takes you like he took the seed that he planted in your heart, and he thrusts you out into the world in order to sow you among men, that you in turn might turn around and re-sow the seed that was planted in you. That is the principle by which the kingdom operates. Now, is your life operated on that principle? Be real honest. Is it operated on that principle? First of all, have you been born from above? Has the divine life principle of God through the seed of truth come into your life and exploded in a new birth so that Jesus Christ literally lives in you as a living, vital reality as Lord of your life? Then, have you allowed Him to turn around and sow you in the world so that you in turn can take that seed and spread it wherever you are? And that means that wherever you are there because He put you there. He sowed you in order that you might sow the seed wherever you are, to your next door neighbors on all sides, to those in the offices around you where you work, to those up and down the rows of the desk where you are at school. You're to turn around having had the seed germinated in you and to spread it everywhere. And that's the way the kingdom operates. That is the principle of the kingdom. You see this fulfilled in the book of Acts, right in the heart of the New Testament. Jesus had said, "Take the seed." receive it. Then go into all the world and herald this gospel to all men. Go ye therefore and disciple everybody. That's one of the two principles by which this works. Evangelism is the one. Scatter the seed. Then when it's germinated in somebody's life, disciple that person and send him out. And sow him. Let God sow him so that he can scatter the seed again. And those are the two primary principles of the kingdom. And then you come to the book of Acts after Jesus spoke that great commission. And here's what you find. In Acts chapter 2, the church was gathered together. The Holy Spirit came upon it and entered into it and filled it. It was now equipped for the sowing throughout the world. But it settled down in comfort in Jerusalem, refused to go out, just like so many of us do. Now, you may count on this next if you're really one of the children of the kingdom. So in Acts chapter 8, God launched a persecution leveled at His church and scattered them all over the existing civilized world. He sowed them everywhere. And the Bible says those that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And there weren't any preachers among them. There were only deacons and lay people, not what we would call the clergy, not any of them. They stayed in Jerusalem. It was the lay people who went out. And they went out on the basis of the principle of the kingdom. They went out sowing the seed everywhere. Now let me ask you again, is there anything like that in your life? Now if there isn't, either number one, you've never been born again, or number two, something is desperately wrong in your life and you'd best be careful because a persecution is coming. That's right. And if no persecution comes, you know you're lost. You know, so you can test yourself at every case. Now let's press on. Secondly, we see the perversion of the kingdom or the problem that developed within the kingdom. Now remember that we're talking about the sphere of Christian profession. The kingdom of heaven here on earth, administered by an absent king through the presence of his other self, the Holy Spirit. Now look at verses 25 and 26. But, so we know immediately that a problem developed. But while men slept, his enemy, now whose enemy is that? Tell me. Jesus. It's the sower's enemy. Please note, he's not just our enemy. That encourages me. He's not just our enemy, he's Christ's enemy. His enemy came, and the word is oversowed, and oversowed tares in between the wheat, what the words literally mean. That means he scattered the seed on top of the already germinating seed, and it interspersed between the upcoming plants, in between the wheat, and then he went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Now here's the perversion. There was a second sowing that takes place all through the field. And it takes place from the hand of the enemy of the first sower. Now please give careful note to this fact. When you take a Bible in your hand and start to read from the book of Genesis and read consecutively through the Bible, you will find a growing, increasing emphasis on Satan as the Bible develops toward the end. And as it moves along, and the light becomes brighter, finally to the intensity of a million suns, the light of Revelation becomes bright in the coming of Jesus, the shadows correspondingly become deeper, so that wherever Christ is most manifest, the devil is most at work. So that it was the coming of Jesus into the world that brought Satan forward into the limelight. And if you don't believe this, read the book of Revelation all alone sometime with this in mind. And see how prolifically the work of Satan is seen everywhere. He is never so active as he is in the book of Revelation. His days are numbered. The countdown is on. We are right in that age right now, right in that time right now. The latter part of the last days. Laodicean age of the church, a lukewarm church. Wheat and tares unidentifiable. You can't tell one from the other. That's precisely what he said here. That's one way to read this age. It's all mixed up. There is an intermingling, an interspersion of the one with the other. And Satan's activity has been intensified, and especially inside the church. Now, note two things about the devil here. Note number one, his favorite time of activity. And don't miss that. It was while men slept. Now, Jesus doesn't criticize that. I've read commentaries where they say